You have particular interest because in the news here in 2024 is much of China and Taiwan and whether or not China is going to take over Taiwan, which is a democracy. So when you hear about that, that's really got you interested.
Well, the first thing that happened was the Trump tariffs. They added 25% onto the cost of our product. And things change. At one point, they said, you've got to go to China. And then the whole paradigm shifted, and they said, now we want to buy American, and we want you to start sourcing again in America. And they did that until they saw the price. For example, we manufacture or we supply every rubber part that goes on an EasyGo golf car, except the tires. We make the floor mats and some bearings that go in there, and we make the shock absorbers. And so they were a little bit worried about the potential for conflict between China and Taiwan. They wanted us to source it domestically until they saw the price.
They, when you say they.
EasyGo. And several other customers. Okay. Mercury, you know.
Come back to the United States and they saw the price.
Yes.
And then they said, no, continue.
Yeah, that's correct. But then we made the decision. We saw the writing on the wall. 7 years ago, we said we have a good business buying and selling products that we design and our customer supply designs to we developed some big customers. Our major customers are Cummins Engine, Polaris, EasyGo, Volvo Powertrain, Kawasaki, Kohler. So we have some big customers. Nobody local except Aeon. We do manufacture fans for Aeon, but that's our only local customer. We do have a lot of international customers, Husqvarna and Volvo in Sweden.
So back to, are you in touch with your friends in Taiwan?
And, oh, all the time.
And can you, as to what they're feeling about China wanting to take over Taiwan and all, have you been in that conversation with them?
We don't talk about that conversation very much. They remain resolute in their belief that Taiwan will remain independent. I have Chinese friends, and I just had a couple of them come over, and they're very adamant. They said, oh, no, Taiwan is part of China. They believe in their hearts that Taiwan is part of China. My personal feeling on that situation is that China cannot really afford to take over Taiwan because of the international outcry. It would affect business. Europeans would obviously move away from them, as would we. But that would be a tough thing for China and for the United States. So economically, I think it's going to be a very tough row to hoe for Xi Jinping. He's a very smart man. There are 1.6 billion people in China. Many of them have been raised out of poverty because of having America and European customers. But there are still a lot of people that are left in poverty. And if Xi Jinping ruins their economy by invading Taiwan, I think it might cause a lot of upheaval for him.
And we should say that Taiwan just had an election where they elected a president who was very much determined to remain independent from
yes.
China. Remember, you and I had lunch one day, and you were talking to me about the China connection, and a man overheard our conversation. And what was it he said when he walked past us?
It was something like traitor or something. It was very hostile.
Right.
I didn't view it that way as far as did I like going to China to buy my products? Well, you have to understand that I'm working in a rubber factory in the United States. People don't want to do it. It's hot. It's tiring work. So the work that was moving over to Asia was not necessarily high-tech business. It was low-tech business that was very labor-intensive. People want to buy at the lowest cost. So who's the villain here? Is it us who goes over and buys product from Asia and sells it to people like Mercury Marine But the end customer is the one who really wants to buy it cheap. People want to pay the lowest possible price. You know, there are certain things that change that. For example, when the pandemic, when the supply chain problems hit, we were paying $2,000 to $4,000 for a 40-foot container, and that price went up to $24,000 to $25,000 for a 40-foot container. So the cost changed there. So we made a decision as a company. We were doing pretty well. We were growing nicely. And I had assembled a wonderful management team, and we made a decision that we would begin manufacturing in the United States. And I knew plastics because we had started to, we had opportunities. Hey, you sell us these rubber parts. We buy these plastic parts too. Can you sell us those? And we were sourcing those in China and Taiwan. Well, the good thing about plastics is the material costs are the same. Rubber costs are much greater because it's labor-intensive to mix it. But essentially, plastic, when you mold plastic, you buy the plastic materials from DuPont, Phillips, and the manufacturers, and you have to process it by only injection molding it. So it was there was no big cost advantage to manufacturing plastic products in Taiwan or China. So we bought our first machine about 7 years ago, and it's now become a major part of our business. We have 10 machines. We have two new ones on order. We have six machines at our factory up in Colorado. So plastic injection molding has become the major thrust of our business. And the nice thing about that is because we supply so many rubber components, and now we supply plastic components, and we put those together in assemblies. And our customers, they don't want to assemble parts. Their business is they want to make the final assembly. And they don't want to have to assemble these individual little components like oil fill tubes or coolant tanks or fuel tanks and or bearing assemblies, things like this. So we now have a nice business assembling parts that we send to our customers. They take our finished part and put it in their part. So that's how our business has evolved.
Yeah, I'm listening to you talk and how much you had going for you personally, the knowledge you had as an engineer and when you could go in and talk. But I'd call it, you have a salesman's personality. You can meet and talk to anybody and very approachable, and not everybody's like that. So you had a lot of things personally going for you.
Well, I have four things that I'm good at. I do like people. You and I have been friends for a long time. We've kidded each other and teased each other. Mm-hmm. I do like people. I make friends well. So I was a good salesman. But another quality is I was a hard worker. I worked every weekend for the first 7 to 10 years. I never missed my kids' soccer, football, or baseball games, but I did work. I was a hard worker. The other thing I have a vision. And I would go up to my wife's parents' lake house, and I would wake up early in the morning, and I could see where I was going to be in 5 years. Actually, I envisioned every step along the way, and it's all come true. Now that we're an $80 million company, that's a lot harder to envision. But my fourth and probably my best characteristic is I have a great vision for people. I can find people, I treat them well, and I've assembled a great manufacturing and a management team. And we've got a great culture at R.L. Hudson. We treat our employees, our suppliers, and our customers with equal respect.
How many employees now?
150 here in Tulsa and about 50 up in Colorado.
So do you think you have an intuition that when somebody comes to you and wants a job, you can kind of size them up fairly fast, or is there something there about them that you're able to spot?
Well, I've made a lot of mistakes. Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment.
Right.
But I have a pretty good nose when I see someone who has the capabilities to and the desire to come in and work hard. I'm a pretty easy guy to work for. I'll hire you. I'll give you the job. I'll give you the responsibility and the authority. But and if a tough decision needs to be made, I can make that decision. But I am I'm kind of a soft touch. You got to really make a few mistakes before I'll take a harsh move.
Mm-hmm. So you have employees that have been with you 20, 30 years?
I have several employees that have been with me over 30 years. I have one employee that has been with me 42 years.
So you're not doing any business in China and Taiwan now?
Oh, no. We still buy a lot of products from Taiwan and China and Malaysia and also now India. It's a cumulative effect. When you start doing business with a customer and you do a good job for them, they say, well, we need help on this part. And some of these parts just need to be sourced in that area. But our major thrust now is our plastic injection business. We just landed a new huge deal with Cummins Engine. We're going to be providing their breather assemblies that are going to be used on every Dodge Ram a pickup truck, the diesel engine. And so that's going to be a new whole assembly line that's going to automatically assemble these kind of complex plastic components. It has 56 parts in them. So our businesses evolve, and every time we evolve and we do a good job on that project, it tends to lead us to another opportunity. And some of those parts are plastic, and some of them are rubber. Some of them are a combination. So we still do some business. In fact, we still do a lot of business in China.